3 today.
Surrounded by lots of men and women in white coats, that would be doctors to you and me. President Obama still pitching healthcare reform. We have the details coming up. In the meantime, the White House is saying no Afghanistan pullout for now. And roll up your sleeves, ready or not, the first doses of the H1N1 vaccine have arrived. Will you take the shot? There are a lot of people that are saying they do not want it. In fact, I had an interesting conversation today about it, both in New York and in California. I'll fill you in on the details. People have been told or suggested, kind of pushed in the direction of, you might want to think about this, refusing to take the shot when it becomes available. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know how we roll on this show, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Excited about our guest coming up in another 10 minutes talking about Afghanistan. He served in Iraq, Michael Anthony. He was a medic there. Could not believe the things that he saw while he was deployed, a living hell. And he'll give us the description of that, obviously, and what he went through and what he learned from that experience. But first, let's get back to Afghanistan. The White House is saying, no, we're not going to pull out. There isn't a timetable anywhere flying around this office, whether it's in our heads or it's somewhere in a secret, secret place. The president is saying we are not walking away from this, even though there is this intense debate over choices as to what to do. This on the heels of that awful Taliban attack that we described yesterday to you. Remember, 8 American soldiers dead over the weekend, just bombarded for 12 hours with rocket fire and machine gun fire, and anything you can imagine was heaped upon them from Taliban that were nestled in the mountaintops and also in a mosque as well that could reach this U.S. outpost where they were stretched pretty thin. The Americans were battling the insurgents, and certainly this would underscore the need for a decision. Are we moving ahead? What is the end game? Do we really want to deploy up to 40,000 more troops? And what about the cost of this war? I care more about the human lives and the sacrifices that American families are making, but there is also a dollar cost on this. For now, Robert Gates, the defense secretary, is saying, listen, we all just need to take a chill pill and let the president decide on this one. But not everybody is in agreement. In fact, an interesting interview that I happened to catch with Peter Galbraith, he was one of the top American diplomats at the United Nations in Afghanistan. Now, last week, the United Nations Secretary General fired him, if you remember. Why? Because he was accusing his boss at the UN mission in Afghanistan and a couple of others of helping to cover up electoral fraud and also of being incredibly biased in favor of Hamid Karzai. So he set off a firestorm, if you will, over how much money was spent on those elections and can you really trust who was elected. So one of the first things Galbraith was asked in the interview that I happened to see on ABC was, look, should we leave Afghanistan? And here's what he said.
If you were advising the president this morning, would you tell him to ramp up now or that it's a losing battle?
Neither. But in the absence of having a credible Afghan partner, that is to say, a government that is enjoys the support of the people and is accepted by those that did not vote for the man who emerges as president, it makes no sense to ramp up. On the other hand, we cannot afford to pull out.
All right, and so along those lines, you got the Taliban and what just happened to the 8 American soldiers who were killed. So what if there was a pullout? What exactly would happen with the Taliban?
Cannot afford to pull out because cannot afford letting the Taliban come in with all their brutalities once again?
That is one point. The Taliban would take over the southern part of the country. It's almost taken over the second largest city in Kandahar. And frankly, over the past 8 years, the United States and its allies have made an enormous investment in Afghanistan. And we have some obligations to the people of that country that we don't let it descend into the kind of chaos that characterized the country in the 1990s.
All right, so we can't let it, Peter Galbraith says, we can't let it descend into putting it back to where it was, in other words, if we were to completely pull out of the situation. Now, we know we've already spent 8 years in Afghanistan, Pete. So now you heap on at least another 10. That's 18 years. When the battlefield is left or that terrain is left behind, is the Taliban completely smoked out for the most part? Are the people living somewhat in a democratic lifestyle? And can the soldiers who have watched their friends be blown apart in battle, can they leave holding their head high knowing, my God, man, we brought these people freedom. We shake loose the Taliban. We shook them loose. And we're coming back with our heads held high. Ultimately, he wraps this up nicely with Diane Sawyer.
All right, let's talk about how you get a credible partner in the Afghan government. You have written a piece which has everyone talking this morning about the fact that you think as many as 30% of the votes in that election were faked, that in Kandahar alone, you're talking about 10 times the number of votes counted as you believe were cast. There is talk of an audit and the results this Friday, a possible runoff. Will an audit and then a runoff at least begin the process of a credible government?
Well, it is essential to have an election in which the people have confidence. So the international community, mostly the United States, spent $300 million on these elections, and they have been a fiasco. They have made the situation much worse. As you noted, they were characterized by massive fraud, mostly in the South, mostly people votes recorded in polling stations where nobody actually voted. Once the fraud has taken place, it's very hard to undo it. There is a process underway. We hope that that will be able to undo at least some of the damage in a way that Afghans will have confidence in the process. And if it ends up with a runoff, that the runoff can be conducted fairly. But, of course, that means it will have to be done differently than how the election on August 20th was done.
All right, so you heard the total, $300 million for an election that's completely bogus, where Karzai, in his opinion and others' opinions, of course, he was muzzled by getting fired, but in a sense, but where other people in the international community feel the same way. Thus, this is part of the problem in Afghanistan. So here's the other deal. What, it's just a waiting game for the president. And in the meantime, there is a push by many in Congress to hear some testimony from General McChrystal to get some more details on what's going on in Afghanistan other than what they have leaked out in the Washington Post or bits and pieces of reports that some of the Congress people have heard about from the Pentagon or the little tidbits, the little kaleidoscope they might have seen during 60 Minutes of McChrystal and what he's doing over there and things that really anyone could have seen across the United States. So one of the things that Gates is saying, the Secretary of Defense, is no way. He's done a great job. There is no way that he has to testify before Congress until the president has decided on a policy because it puts him in an impossible situation. Ooh, the tug of war has begun. Michael Anthony coming up next. He's written a book called Mass Casualties. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit purewaterfreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, purewaterfreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. Purewaterfreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, undersink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride and pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water. water in no time. Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist. Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit purewaterfreedom.com. Purewaterfreedom.com. The best filtered water in the world.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Back at it here on America Tonight. A pleasure to welcome to the show Michael Anthony. And here is a guy who, before we jump into this, at 18 years old, okay, and you think of being 18, I think of when I'm 18, and he enlisted at 17, came from a family where, again, we tip our cap to them, military family, so many had served, and he decided he wanted to do that too. So he continues down that path, that long tradition of service to the country. Then he, at 18 years old, goes to Iraq. He's in a medical unit. Can you imagine some of the things that Michael Anthony saw while he was in Iraq? And he's written a terrific book called Mass Casualties, A Young Medic's True Story of Death, Deception, and Dishonor in Iraq. Michael Anthony, thanks so much for coming on to the show. We appreciate you, and we appreciate your service.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kate. Thanks for having me.
All right, do we have some applause from that lame studio audience in Minneapolis? You got to, Michael, they're exhausted because the Vikings beat Green Bay 30-23, so they've all lost their voices. They've gone crazy in Minneapolis. All right, take us through, first of all, take us through what happened. As I said, you came from a family that served the country, a long history of military service, so I imagine this was kind of ingrained in you that it was something you wanted to do, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think at that point when it was coming time to make that decision, it was no longer, you know, if I was going to join, it was just basically what branch of the service was it going to be. You know, I had brothers in the Air Force, the Marines, and the Army at that point. So it was, like I said, it was really just a question of what service was it going to be once the time came to leave the nest, I suppose.
And so what I mentioned that you enlisted at 17. Take us on the journey from there. What happened then? You did basic, obviously, and got deployed.
Okay. Well, I actually didn't get deployed until I was 20. Mm-hmm. I'd enlisted when I was 17, and then I was in the reserves, and then I, you know, went through that reserve process for a few months, and then once I graduated high school, I went to training for about a year, and then I came back for a year, and that's when we got deployed for 17 months. And that was basically the whole process. There was, you know, school, training for a year, back for a year, gone for, you know, 17 months, and then came back home and wrote the book.
And so obviously you felt compelled to put on the pages what you saw, and I mentioned the title, talking about death, deception, dishonor in Iraq. When you say deception, what kind of things did you see as somebody who was part of a medical unit?
Well, for instance, I can give one example of when newspapers did articles on us, and we found just things that in these newspapers that were just totally false and pure yellow journalism. And one of the facts was the articles came out, and to us in Iraq, the article was a joke. People started passing around parody articles and satire articles, making fun of all these paper articles that were being written about us. And it was just so sad to see all the people back home reading about these articles and thinking that this is the truth, and then us have just be a big joke.
And in saying that, so what it was it a cover-up for some of this, when you say yellow journalism, a cover-up from some of the real things that you actually witnessed and saw, right, some of the horrors?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it made it sound like it was a picnic over there. And that's one of the reasons I decided to, you know, really write the book, because I think too many times there's books and movies out there that paint this romanticized, heroic ideal of this American soldier that can do no wrong. And what I wanted to do was basically paint a picture of the American soldier as a human. I mean, if you look, for example, say, the Rambo movies, you know, Rambo comes back from the war and he's got PTSD, but yet he still manages to save a city, get a girl, and do all these great things. But in, you know, real life, a soldier comes back from the war with PTSD and they kill themselves. You know, we have the highest suicide rates in 30 years, and more veterans have killed themselves than active duty veterans have killed themselves than have been injured in Iraq and Afghanistan combined.
Yeah. When you first went over, did you have that opinion, that sort of that romanticized opinion, like you say, and then each day you would be shaken probably by the things that you saw, and you couldn't believe in comparison to things that you had heard what you were actually witnessing? Was it like that? Did it play out like that for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had four older brothers that were in the military, so for me, I was just looking up to them. You know, I'm going to go do what my brothers do, and, you know, at the same time, I was only 17, 18 at that point, so they're not going to tell me some of the, you know, the other darker side that goes on over there, you know, the drugs and the depression and PTSD and, you know, the suicides. And so going into it, I didn't know any of that. You know, I was just, you know, I had the typical movie version that everyone had. And then to expect that and then to just be given a 180, it was just, you know, it's just hard to cope with that loss of, I don't want to say loss of faith, but just that loss of something. You just lose something in you.
What was it that got you through it? What made you pull through that? Because you said 17 months, which is an incredible amount of time. How did you, Michael, how did you make it through the horrendous things that you were seeing?
I think partway through what it is working in the medical field, you got to learn how to just turn your emotions off to everything and basically not care about anything. So going into the surgery, you got to look at a patient, and you can't care if they live or die, because you're going to be dealing with good guys and bad guys, and you can't look at them differently, and you can't let your emotions or anything get in the way. So you got to turn it into that methodical machine. So I think really being able to turn everything off to an extent helped me deal with everything that went on over there. And then, of course, you know, coming home, it was hard to turn it back on and lose that, you know, robotic feel to everything. But definitely over there, that's what helped me, just being able to turn off from everything and just be, I don't care, you know, whatever, they die, I die, it doesn't matter.
When in writing this book, were you, and obviously this is part of it, as you've already mentioned, but I think it's cathartic for you, I'm sure, to put it together. It had to be that kind of a feeling for you. But are you certainly hoping to get it out there so more people realize, hey, this is really what's happening here? These are the things that aren't being talked about. This is what happened in Iraq.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for example, you know, I've been able to talk to a lot of authors since then. I know a lot of people in the military through myself and my brothers. And one book in particular, I won't say it, but it was written about the initial invasion of Iraq. And, you know, it was a great story. It painted all the soldiers as heroes. And, you know, and they were. You know, they went out there. They did some brave and courageous things, and they were all heroes. But the book ended there. What a lot of people don't know and where the book just left off was a lot of those soldiers actually, once they returned, several of them killed themselves, several turned into drugs, and several got kicked out of the military for, you know, failing drug tests, and several killed themselves, several attempted to kill themselves. And if you look at the book, you're going to see, you know, 10 heroic figures that, I mean, these people are, you know, these are the people that the G.I. Joe film is based on. But then if you look at the reality of what happened, you know, after the book was written, after they returned home, there's got to be something missing if everything was perfect, like the picture was painted. I mean, how could point A lead to point B? And, yeah, basically, like you said, I just wanted to fill in the gaps and explain how these things can happen in the full story picture of it, not just the things that people want to see, the things that people want to hear. I just wanted to paint a full picture of what goes on over there.
Yeah. Hey, we only have a minute and change left, but
okay.
We've been talking about Afghanistan. And when you see what happened in Iraq, and now the troops, the big chunk of the troops anyway, have pulled out, and they're trying to maintain their own form of government, do you think it's worth it to send 40,000 more troops to Afghanistan? Do you think that the United States, based on your feeling from being in the Middle East and Iraq, is it worth it to stay there and keep digging in for the next maybe 10 years or so?
If you look at it from a pure military standpoint, from just a pure military, all politics mm-hmm. aside, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sending more troops in there is going to work. I mean, that's the only way to win a war, to win a battle, is to win it by pure numbers and pure force. I mean, if you can look at things different ways depending on politics, but from a pure military standpoint, I mean, the only way you're going to win a war is with force and numbers.
Yeah, boy. But imagine you'll certainly be able to relate to those soldiers because you'll know exactly what they're going through, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been emailing back and forth with dozens of old veterans, new veterans, current soldiers, and just breeding an understanding.
Yeah, no kidding. Michael Anthony, good luck to you. Mass Casualties, A Young Medic's True Story of Death, Deception, Dishonor in Iraq. Get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, of course, Borders. Michael, we'll have you back on again, and we appreciate the time, buddy.
All right, great. Thank you. Bye.
Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends here on ATN.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
O&E segment on America Tonight. A couple of quick headers for you. The U.S. is not leaving Afghanistan, according to the Secretary of Defense. Hey, we don't have a strategy. McChrystal wants 40,000 troops. We have 8 guys who died over the weekend because they were ambushed since they were spread so thin. But we're not leaving Afghanistan. You might want to weigh in on this at AmericaTonight.net. All the recent polls show that support for what's happening in Afghanistan has waned. It's either one way or the other, and there's no in between, and that's the problem. Waffling gets people killed. If we're in, we're in, and commit and get the troops over there. If we're not, get them out. I'm definitely in favor for not committing the troops because I think we've stranded so many people already. This war will extend for 18 years, and when we're done, what do we leave with? What do we leave Afghanistan with? What's left behind besides the blood that I think was spilled by too many Americans? And certainly with the way it's being handled now, we're going down the wrong path. You either have to make a strong counter-surge punch, send over the drones, whatever it is, but you cannot just weigh in and stay status quo. It will not work. So that means the president has to get some giddy up in this decision, I think, when it concerns Afghanistan. Too many people have their lives on pause, have sacrificed just way too much. In the meantime, the high court in session, and this is an interesting one. I didn't realize I had actually seen this memorial till I saw a picture of it. But one of the things the Supreme Court is going to decide is whether or not the war memorial violates the Constitution. You say, well, the war memorial, what's the war memorial? Well, the war memorial was actually erected in the shape kind of a cross. It was a cross. It was covered by plywood, and it's on government property. They have to decide whether the display violates First Amendment, violates the First Amendment. And it's in a weird, like I said, it's in a weird shape, the cross shape, for this memorial. And if you go into the Mojave Desert, you see it. It's in the Mojave Desert. And they had to cover it until this can be resolved. So now you have, I know I saw it uncovered. And now you have this thing that people stop by to look at that's nothing to look at now since it's covered up, like I said. It happened about 75 years ago. So it's boxed in plywood. The issue isn't so much about what the cross symbolizes, but it's more about where it sits. It's in the middle of the Mojave National Preserve, which is, as I said, government land. So they have to decide whether it violates the First Amendment's provision for, of course, the separation of church and state. How do you think they're going to rule here? Actually, it's kind of a cool little area. It's right there in the rocks, if you've ever been to the Mojave Desert, and it's right there in the rocks, and there's trees there, and it's in a very remote area. You would drive past it probably and maybe not even see it, except for that so many people would stop by to take a look at it, because it catches your eye, and then they realize what they're looking at. So in 2001, Congress has jumped in the first time, and they said no, to the Park Service from spending federal money to remove it. And then a year later, they designated the site as a national memorial, similar to the Washington Monument and Mount Rushmore. So, yes, there is some slight confusion here as to what to do. And this isn't the first time this happened. We talked in this show, I remember this, the Ten Commandments Monument. Remember that on the Texas State House grounds? They were allowed to stay there because it was surrounded by historical markers. And then what happened is the Ten Commandment parchments, the very same day that ruling stood for those commandments, the placement of the Ten Commandment parchments in two Kentucky county courthouses was ruled unconstitutional. The high court called them a governmental effort substantiated to promote religion. So it's weird. So on the one hand, you had the Texas situation, and they left it. It was massively controversial. And then you had this other one that wasn't quite as controversial, and the idea was, no, you can't keep them here. Can't keep them there, right? I don't know, man. You think of the symbols, as somebody was talking about earlier in the day, the memorials, the symbols, and you talk about 75 years, 100 years, and what that represents, man, that's just too much history for me. The implications of it, I think, it's greater than what they're deciding. And you don't have individual gravestones, but it's a memorial, and it was built 75 years ago. So somebody took the time, or a group of people took the time, to put it together. I don't see what the big deal is. Enough of this making a big deal about things that shouldn't be made a big deal about. Is it that offensive to anyone when they drive by it? Okay, yes, it is on the land, and that's the problem, I guess. There's no, can we say, let's let this one slide? Because if you go by the letter of the law, then therein lies the problem, which would mean the Supreme Court could rule, depending on what other precedents there are, could rule in favor of just getting rid of the monument. I guess they would try to just remove it in that box and perhaps move it someplace else and place it there so people could go and see it. But it wouldn't have the same impact as, I think, the Mojave Desert, which is where it was standing. So to me, that, it doesn't have the same effect as, oh, yeah, we're driving by and look at that. Wow, that's absolutely incredible. To me, this is absolutely incredible that the Ohio governor, first of all, that they screwed up this execution so bad of this guy who strangled his 67-year-old neighbor. And why? Because he was robbing him, and the man interrupted him in the middle of the robbery. So Lawrence Reynolds Jr., who is supposed to be executed Thursday for killing a neighbor back in 1994, well, you know what? It didn't happen because they botched. They couldn't find a vein. It took 2 hours. So finally the governor said, you know, forget about it. And now you have the controversy. Once the governor called that, his execution is at least stayed until March at the earliest. And with this conflict of the botched execution, it raises, you know, questions, I guess, about the lethal injection procedures. Of course it does. And now they need more time to investigate it. But the fact that this guy who should have been killed, should have been executed, gets this pass for now. And you think of the family sitting there watching this happen with whatever feelings they had, and then it doesn't happen. And now there is a decision that could be made that would just evaporate the death penalty. Because if you look at the humanitarian issues and what they're saying is you cannot try to execute this guy twice. Oof. I guess they tried for 2 hours on September 15th. They couldn't find a way to insert the chemicals. So that's ultimately what happened. And now we've seen this happen a couple of different times. And like I said, very sad, obviously. To me, it's not about him. It's about the people who loved the 67-year-old man, sadly, who was strangled, who was killed because of a home invasion that was botched anyway. And again, just an awful thing for that family to think of, sitting there waiting for him to die. He doesn't die, and now they're still dealing with this. All right, this might be a surprise to some, and because we had a lot of people on to talk about. Remember, Discovery Channel had Shark Week, and we had a couple of different people come on the show and talk about sharks and talk about the differences of sharks and waters to avoid or not to avoid, or is it all just a myth? And I happened to catch this story about a fisherman who was fined for not reporting a great white shark. I didn't know that you were required to do that. This was off the Oregon coast. It happened in August. The fisherman told the wildlife people that the shark was tangled in the crab gear and was pulled to the surface when they were bringing up a pot. Ooh, that would scare you. So Jason Robinson told the trooper that the shark had been gutted so it could be eaten. And what they're saying is if the trooper wasn't at the right place at the right time, they would have unlawfully kept the shark for their own personal interests. And that is the problem. Because of seems odd to say that, doesn't it? But they're trying to protect shark species, and I guess the great white would be thrown, lumped in there too, you know, as well. And plus, then they're worried about not having the sighting at all, not knowing. And you had police driving up and down and two patrol SUVs using loudspeakers to announce a shark sighting so other people saw it. And then there's a thing that they do called finning. And you can be fined for that, too, as well. They take the fins. It's popular shark fin soup in many Asian countries. They pay big, big bucks for this. So, sadly, you'll see sharks without fins. And if they don't have the fins, how can they possibly swim? Ultimately, they die as a result. Birthdays this day in history and news you can abuse next.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
There are just 86 days left in the year, so you better start your holiday shopping. I think it's going to be a lean holiday season for a lot of people. Seems like we always say that, but I think this truly will be a rough Christmas season for lots of people, Hanukkah season. I'm going to give you this day in history, which is one of my favorite things to do, coming up in just a few minutes here. In 1927, it was the era of the talking pictures. It arrived with, what was the opening movie? The jazz singer, Al Jolson. Sometimes you'll see clips of that if you watch some old Hollywood, you know, something talking about old Hollywood, they'll show clips. I know I've seen it, seems like a zillion times. Also, we have birthdays, too, and there are a slew of birthdays. I used to announce how many birthdays I thought you would recognize, you know, names, in other words, that you would recognize. And I'm going to give you one that I think you will recognize. Of course, I could be wrong, but I'll throw this out there for many of you anyway. And the name is Tony Dungy. We talked about sports earlier with the Minnesota Vikings and their big win over Green Bay. And the former NFL player and coach Tony Dungy celebrates his 54th birthday. Also one of the guys from Law and Order with a nice birthday. And an Oakland Raiders defensive tackle you might know if you're into music, Los Lobos, one of the musicians celebrating a birthday. And also the CBS bigwig. Yeah, you know what? I wish I could tell you on the air, but they would have to bleep me what CBS stands for, because I have had a lot of friends who work there, and the three letters stand for something different than what you would think they stand for. Anyway, the chief executive officer is celebrating a huge birthday. Which one? You'll have to hang around to find out. And I'm going to say you're going to probably know four people on the list. In the meantime, the public option is front and center. There was supposed to be a vote on Tuesday from the Senate Finance Committee. That got delayed because they have to get numbers from the Congressional Budget Office. So while the Congressional Budget Office is crunch, 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 crunching, how long does it take, for goodness sake? Don't we have pretty much the same things that we've been saying, except for removed a few little things here and there? The price tag still is going to be very, very high. The public option has been tossed about. Some people believe in the public option, think there should be one, and think if you don't think there's a public option, that you just don't give a crap about your fellow American who is struggling to get insurance, pay for insurance, and just survive without being crippled financially due to some emergency at a health facility somewhere. And I don't think if you don't agree with the public option that that's true at all. That's a little one-sided. I think that we need health care reform. I've now said it 10 times during this show. I promise I won't say it on our next show. But not in the current form, baby. I'm certainly not alone. And obviously a Republican from California, Dan Lundgren, is probably going to think the same thing if you listen to what many from the GOP have said. So here's what the congressman said about the public option.
Joining us now is Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren of California. Thank you for coming in today, Congressman.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about this fact that there are at least five different versions now on the Hill out there, a lot of differences that have to be reconciled. How do you see them coming together, or will they?
Well, the whole question is whether or not the Congress is going to ignore the will of the people as expressed in the August town hall meetings and continuing town hall meetings around the country, or whether the Congress is going to listen to the American people. I hear this question about the Democratic plan, where's the Republican plan? Frankly, we ought not to be talking about a Democratic or Republican plan. We ought to be talking about the American plan. The American people have very clearly said they do not trust a public option. They don't want government taking over more and more of the health care that they desire. They want us to go back and look at very specific things we could do. And I think if you want to talk about more accessibility and you want to talk about trying to keep costs as low as they possibly could be, we need more transparency and we need more competition. There are innumerable Republican proposals, that is, proposals supported by Republicans that have been introduced that go to these questions, like having health associations where you could expand the number of pools that are available, being able to purchase insurance policies across state lines so you'd have many more of those available. What about litigation reform? That seems to be missing in every single major proposal we've heard from the leadership on the other side of the aisle, yet that's the very first thing the American people are saying when they're asked, would you do something about that because we think that could bring costs down and stop what's known as defensive practices of medicine. So there are any number of things that we on the Republican side have introduced, 32 separate amendments offered in the House bills, at least I think 41 separate bills out there. We'd like to be brought to the table, not so that we Republicans can stand up and say it's our plan, but we would like to say to the American people, your government is listening to you, you've expressed your point of view, we're not going to ignore you.
All right, that was well said at the end. Wouldn't it be a great feeling? I don't care who it is, Democrat, Republican, Independent. If you really felt like the politicians, I said this earlier, were listening to what we, the people, want. And yes, there's disagreement, certainly, in a nation this big, and we saw it played out in the town hall meetings and some of the other places, some of the meetings that weren't exactly town hall meetings. We saw a lot of the frustrations, like I said before, bubble over. But the feeling that you actually are contributing to what's happening to our own government. I mean, we are the government. That would be, I think that would be much better for any kind of health care reform. And that's part of the problem. It was never presented right. I saw maybe it was Bill Maher's show, and I thought it was great what they were saying. The panel, you know, he has different panel members. Sometimes he'll have a conservative and two liberals or whoever he has on the show. But somebody brought this up. That first problem with the plan was calling it a public option in the first place. It just sounds so bad, and it does. the public option. And there were a million other things that they could have called it, but they didn't. And then the way it was served up to be crammed down everybody's throat. So right from the get-go, it's like that first impression thing. Once you guys know going on dates, blow that first impression, forget it. It's really tough to get back in there again. All right, we're going to jump quickly to news you can abuse. How about this one? I love this story. So this guy grows pumpkins for a living. And he decided, he's a retired IBM executive, and he decided he needed a tourist attraction, or this town in Delaware needed one. So he built what they think is the world's biggest pumpkin carriage. He grew a 400-pounder. You know, he's done them in the past, but he grew another one a little bit bigger than that. It was 7 feet tall, and he made a pumpkin carriage. It can take 8 passengers, has hydraulic brakes. He's contacted the Guinness people to see if the pumpkin carriage sets a record, but I just think it's so bloody cool, I got to tell you. I would love to ride in that pumpkin carriage. This one from Massachusetts, no gun, no cash. Police in Haverhill, Massachusetts, say a convenience store clerk refused the demands of a would-be crook. They say the clerk demanded to see the gun when a man tried to rob the place. So the 22-year-old suspect ran and was later caught in some nearby woods. They say no gun was found on him. The man pled not guilty to a number of charges, including attempting to commit a crime. Duh. 22-year-old Adam Alsarby. What was he thinking? He wasn't. Clearly he wasn't thinking. He was trashed on Red Bull. This day in history, a couple of gems for you, including this one from way back when. In 1973, war erupted in the Middle East. Imagine that, as Egypt and Syria attacked Israel during the Yom Kippur holiday. That was really nasty stuff. Also in 76, in his second debate with Jimmy Carter, President Gerald Ford asserted there was no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe. Ford later conceded he misspoke. We've seen that from politicians, huh? All right, Maestro, cue up that birthday music as we come to the end. Celebrating a birthday from Los Lobos, rock singer, musician David Hidalgo. Also celebrating a birthday. A lot of guys I know had a crush on her. Actress Elizabeth Shue, 46 years old. Also celebrating birthday. Easy for me to say. It's too much Crystal Light. I'm slurring my words there. Actor Jeremy Sisto from Law and Order. I like Law and Order. He's 35 years old. Oakland Raiders defensive tackle Richard Seymour is 30 years old. Also celebrating a birthday from REO Speedwagon. Wow, that's going way back. Rocker Kevin Cronin is 58 years old. The CBS chief I was talking about, Les Moonves, 60 years old. Actress Britt Eklund is 67. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday to you. Hats off to Achman. Great job. Thank you very much.